The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
And now, presenting Fig and Ford, In the Case of the Greater Gatsby. Episode 1, A Long December. Written and created by Sean Prasad and Sinead Prasad.
Hollywood, the tail end of 1940, a brand new decade. It's been a long December, and there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last. That's because we'll finally be done with this case. Maybe the worst one of my career.
Listen up, Mr. Maitland. When you hire the investigative services of Fig and Ford, Detectives to the Stars, trademark pending, you're getting the only two sleuthhounds west of the MISSISSIPPI who can get to the bottom of any situation. And that's what we've done. This case is as open and shut as a nunnery in Reno.
That's Fig Weinschein, former junior ace reporter at the Tinseltown Times, and somehow my partner for the last year. What she lacks in height, she makes up for in volume, both in decibel level and amount of words spoken.
Your suspicions are as bare bones as a starlet on a cigarettes and grapefruit diet. The facts are as clear as a...
I don't know why I bothered hiring you, gumshoes. This was murder. My ex-wife hated Stella. She was always threatening her. I'll put that spotted whore in the zoo where she belongs. Who would say something like that?
Well, to be fair, Mr. Maitland, Stella was a giraffe.
Things have been a little too quiet, which is why I broke my cardinal rule. No cases involving Hollywood. We've got some repairs we need to make at the office, and a man can only subsist on beans for dinner for so long. So when big-shot animal trainer Archibald Maitland came by, positive that his ex-wife was trying to sabotage his career by murdering his most prized moneymaker, we couldn't say no. Which is how we ended up here, on the lot at Hammermeister Studios, audience to an unhinged tirade by one of this town's many misguided narcissists.
A giraffe? She was the giraffe. How dare you? You're no better than the cops and their forensics and their Stella showed no signs of blunt trauma and their your ex-wife has lived in France for 3 years and has an airtight alibi and their please get out of the station, Mr. Maitland, or we'll have to arrest you. Oh, Stella, you've been besmirched by everyone. I'm so sorry.
She had a good life, Mr. Maitland. She even got that honorary Oscar for Suffering Safari. But she was 25. It was her time.
You know what I always say. Giraffes and starlets, you're cooked after your mid-20s.
You do always say that, and it's pretty strange. Sorry for your loss, Mr. Maitland. That'll be $100, 3 days plus expenses.
Here you go, you worthless pieces of scum. I hope your giraffes never go through what Stella did.
Well, I'd never let my giraffe wear what Stella wore to the governor's ball, that's for sure.
The leopard print was quite gauche.
You two can go straight to hell!
Pal, we're already there.
Is that going to be the overarching metaphor of this audio drama? Hollywood is hell? Because I think that's a bit passé and on the nose.
You know what's on the nose? Fig and Ford, Detectives to the Stars. We can't name our agency that. There's no mystery to it.
You want a mystery? It's a beautiful December day in the desert and you look like a sour pig in a blanket. What's with the trench coat? It's 75 degrees.
Movie studios are not exactly my favorite place. Not since the war.
No, that would be the bottom of a whiskey glass. And...
shh! Hide.
Is that what I think it is?
They're filming Ziegfeld Girls on the lot. Can't let Jimmy Stewart see me. We used to room together. He's a monster.
Really? I've only heard good things. And don't forget, I was a gossip guy. Hey, look! It's Hedy Lamarr. I wonder if she'll sign my hat.
Oh, sorry, everyone. Seems I've, forgotten my line. I suppose we'll have to go back and do the tap number with the zebras again.
And that's a cut. God damn it, Jim. The line is golly. You can't remember golly?
Well, now I'm trying just as hard as I can.
Behind the glitz, glamour, and breakaway sets of this counterfeit town, you'll find nothing but filth, deceit, and those who will sacrifice anything and anyone to get to the top.
You know, you could just move if you hate it here so much.
Shoot, I thought I was doing a private voiceover.
Sure, but you're not a lone gumshoe anymore, Ford. You've got me now, and I can hear all your internal monologues.
Even that one about
Yeah, that one too.
Damn it. Hey, look over there. Coming out of Mel Hammermeister's office.
Is that Mo Beats?
Officer Maurice Mo Beats, LAPD. A weaselly little backstabber with a moral compass always pointing towards his bank account.
What do you think he's doing with the head of the studio?
I don't know, but it can't be good.
Well, maybe you could go ask her. Weren't you one of her...
I don't want to talk about Mel Hammermeister.
Well, well, well. If it isn't the prides of the City of Angels themselves. Figgy Pudding and Ford Pudding.
Eh, you'll think of something one of these days, Mo.
That's giving him a lot of credit.
So, word on the street is the gumshoe business isn't really panning out for you. Not surprising. You, coming here to be extras in some kitty picture? Sorry, I forgot. They already chewed you up and spit you out, Forty Poo.
He knew how to get under my skin. Of course, he was right. It was years ago when I was just a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed boy of 11.
Wait, are you doing a flashback?
Yeah, why?
We don't have time. Meter's almost up. Also, we have some special flashback music, so people know when we're flashbacking.
Oh, why? I didn't realize that. Sorry, it's hard to get used to the audio format.
I get it. You're very set in your ways.
Hey! Why are you guys just standing there not saying anything? You talking to each other in your heads or something?
Yeah, just figuring out some logistics.
Use private eyes in your internal monologues, I swear. You guys are buggier than the Carmel Car Show. Anyways, I got a 23 Skidoo. Me? I got crimes to solve.
Later that night, as I glanced over the stack of bills piling up in our office, I couldn't help but think back to the previous night. The night when she came bursting back into my life like a scarlet-haired tornado. Okay, now I'm flashing back to last night.
Now you don't need to say it's a flashback if we have the flashback music play.
You know what? You want to do this, Miss Flashback Expert?
Absolutely. So there we were, last night, playing and drinking gin rummy. When?
Mr. Phillips, something terrible has happened.
Really goosed my ham that she only addressed Ford. I mean, I was sitting right there.
Vivian Nightingale, sultry lounge singer and wife of famed newspaper exec Barnaby Nightingale. About a year ago, she was a prime suspect in a case involving Fig's friend, ingenue actress Wilhelmina Vanderjetsky. Vivian was innocent in that case, but I had the feeling that wasn't a common occurrence.
What's the skinny, Red?
Oh, why, thank you. It's a strict cigarettes and grapefruit diet. I'm Vivian Nightingale. Pleased to meet you.
Yeah, no, we've met. I meant, what's the... You know what? Never mind.
I'd like to hire you. I'm sure you've heard of F. Scott Fitzgerald?
Does not ring
nope.
a bell.
The writer?
Personally,
I don't really have time to read
books.
Anymore.
The author of such American classics as The Beautiful and the Damned and The Great Gatsby?
Maybe we just cut to the part where you explain who he is and what happened.
Fitzy was a paramour of mine. A once vaunted author of prestige novels who had moved out to California to make a quick buck writing for the silver screen. He thought he was slumming it.
He wasn't wrong. He dead?
My, Mr. Phillips. Are you always so keen to skip the foreplay?
Only when there's money involved.
Come on, guys.
Fitzy died on the 20th of December. Heart attack. Or so they say.
And what do you say?
I say he was murdered.
What makes you so sure?
Fitzy had lots of enemies. My husband Barnaby, chief among them.
This Barnaby, he aware that you're cheating?
Oh, no. I wouldn't call it cheating. It's more of a game, really. A game where I cheat on him and he won't divorce me.
Look, Mrs. Nightingale...
It's Miss.
But you're married and you took your husband's last name.
Yes.
I see. Miss Nightingale. If the cops and coroner did their jobs and decided Fitzgerald died of a heart attack, we're gonna need more to go on than a hunch.
Fitzy was also working on something big. Something that was going to tear this whole town apart.
A kaiju near the San Andreas Fault?
Joke all you want.
I was being serious. I'm always serious about kaijus.
Fitzy was a gifted observer of the ways power and lust and greed corrupt, and he had turned his eye on the most powerful and lustful and the greediest, most corrupt town in the world. His book, The Great Gatsby, was about the seedy underbelly of the American dream and the illusion of money and social status. He was writing a sequel based on his time in Hollywood, modeling his characters on the real-life stars and moguls he worked with, using their scandals and most hidden desires as fodder to explore the human condition. It was called The Greater Gatsby.
Wow. That's a pretty good title.
It's certainly evocative. So this Gatsby character, what? Moves to Los Angeles and becomes an actor, or...
No. Gatsby dies at the end of the first book.
Oh, for
Come
Pete's
on,
sake. Maybe
that's
I was
just
gonna
a
read
clear
it.
Spoiler.
The story is told through the eyes of his old friend, Nick Carraway, who would move to Los Angeles and become a screenwriter. Fitzy couldn't get his publisher interested in a sequel to the book, so he figured he'd write it as a movie. He knew everyone's secrets, and this manuscript exposed them all.
Sounds like a touch of plagiarism.
Yeah, well, that's Hollywood for you.
His wife Zelda would say the same thing. Apparently, he used parts of her letters and journals word for word.
Okay, so he's not a stranger to this sort of thing. Who has the manuscript now?
Now you're asking the right questions.
Oh, well, thanks.
That's the thing. No one knows where the manuscript is.
Sounds like someone didn't want their well-kept secrets being plastered all over every movie screen in America.
So you got a down-on-his-luck screenwriter making enemies all over town, threatening to reveal their secrets. He dies, and the script with all the secrets is stolen. And someone is covering it up.
So, someone wanted to protect their secrets.
Or use someone else's as leverage.
Fitzy was working for Mel Hammermeister at the studio. She's one of the most powerful people in Hollywood.
Mel Hammermeister, my old boss. Had me doing drills from morning till dark during... the war.
And by drills you mean?
Vocal drills,
yeah.
Mostly. Why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, did I ever leave Ohio?
There it is. Well, she's definitely the sort that could pay off whoever she needed. And Scotty had a wife, you said. Zelda? Suspects are piling up already.
So, will you take the case?
Me, personally? I'd love to de-cover up the murder of an innocent person and bring the real perpetrators to justice. Just a little fact about me. But my compadre in crime here has a real bugaboo for cases with anything Hollywood-centric and or adjacent.
If it's about Hollywood, I'm about as far away as I can get from it. You've got a compelling argument and gams that should be insured by MetLife, but I just can't do it.
Are you sure, Mr. Phillips? Is there... anything I can do to change your mind?
Sorry, Miss Nightingale, but I wouldn't take this case unless the sky was falling. That was a ceiling tile, not the sky. Still not taking the case. We really need a new office. Write that down, Fig.
It's the only thing on our to-do list.
Color me disappointed, Ford Phillips. Let me know if you change your mind. This case could be good for you. Really put you on the map.
Flashback over.
We know. There was flashback music.
Well, I'm just making sure. Things can get very confusing in the audio format.
Ah, Charlie Chaplin's leather chaps. All this flashbacking has made us late for our meeting with Wilhelmina at Bixby's. Come on.
Yeah, I'm coming.
Wilhelmina Vanderjetsky is a childhood friend of mine and one of the biggest starlets in Hollywood. We helped her out of a jam last year in a case of a blackmail scheme that turned out to be run by her own husband, studio exec Roger Hercrime. Since then, Willie's been a little on edge, especially now that Roger's been sent to the slammer for a separate incident. We have a standing meeting at Bixby's Lounge once a week to make sure everything's copacetic.
None of that was voiceover.
Darn it, really? That was all out loud?
Yeah, heard every word. Danny Saxman from next door probably did too.
Oh yeah, heard it all, neighbor.
It's so hard to tell.
See? It's confusing.
Well, well, well. If it isn't Fig Wineshine and Ford Phillips, my two favorite detectives.
Bixby Crane, purveyor of quality cocktails to the stars and one of the last good men left on the West Coast. Bixby's Lounge is my favorite watering hole and a beloved performance space for Hollywood's up-and-coming talent. Vivian Nightingale is among his roster of lounge singers.
The usuals.
Make it three fingers this time, Bixby, and I do mean of whiskey.
Long day?
Long life.
And I'll have a Mary Pickford, extra cherries, cookie on the rim.
A girl after my own heart.
Fig, Ford!
Wilhelmina Vanderjetsky, real name Lily Thomas, with a hard th. As joyful as she is clueless, she married one of the most powerful producers in Hollywood and took off to fame and fortune. Her career was unaffected by the bad business with her husband last year. She's starred in two hit movies since then and is currently leading up an all-star cast in a long-in-development and very interesting interpretation of the recent novel, The Grapes of Wrath.
I knew I'd find you both here. I mean, since Ford is an alcoholic.
While that's not untrue, you do realize that we also have an appointment.
If you say so, you'll be happy to hear that the first week of shooting on my new film, the Prohibition-era tap-dancing Western adaptation of The Grapes of Wrath, has been going swimmingly despite all the hiccups in pre-production. The top banana, Mel Hammermeister, even told the director to give me more dance solos.
You mean to tell me your boss is a banana?
Bixby, would you pour a gal from Minnesota a Lily Thomas special?
A cold glass of half and half, garnished with a spritz of heavy cream.
That's the ticket.
How many tap dancing numbers does an adaptation of The Grapes of Wrath need?
According to my fearless director, Whitley Truffelhouse, at least 7 or the Academy won't consider it for a Best Tap Dancing Oscar.
I'm really chuffed that it's going well, Willie. I remember when we were in school, dreaming about our futures in Los Angeles. It all seemed so far away, and yet, here we are. You remember how we were both in that philosophy class with that professor?
It was while Fig and Willie were reminiscing about their freezing Midwestern days that I noticed something strange at Bixby's. A group of mismatched patrons, eyes furtively darting around. Bixby had left us to go usher them into the back. One of them looked familiar, another looked far too young to be drinking. When Bixby returned to the bar, I engaged him in a little Q&A. Hey, who were those folks who just crept into the back? I thought I recognized one of them.
Oh, just some folks who host a book club in the back room sometimes. Got space, might as well use it. Excuse me.
He excused himself to help another customer, but didn't realize I could still see him as he just stood on the other side of the bar, staring at the wall. He's about as good a liar as I am a dress house jockey. Mediocre at best, and should have given it up a lot sooner than I did. Something was up at Bixby's.
You'll bring me as your plus one, and I'd ride in on an elephant to your first premiere with an entourage of meerkats, all dressed in little capes.
What? Never mind. I don't want to know.
I really thought that after the world found out about my stage name, they'd abandon me. I'd become another Hollywood star doomed to security.
You mean obscurity?
No. My friend Glenn has had some trouble getting auditions lately. Probably because he's Canadian. He had to take a job in security at a department store. Anyways, I was so scared that the public would turn on me, but they haven't. In fact, I've started receiving fan mail again. Look, I brought some. This one says, "Dear Mrs. Vanderjetsky, I love that you didn't take your husband's name. You're an inspiration to women everywhere."
Let me see one. Ooh, this one says, "Your face lights up the silver screen." Also, they request a lock of your hair and one eyelash. Ew.
And this one says, "Dear Wilhelmina Vanderjetsky, we're always watching, waiting. We will strike when you least expect it. No one can save you. Get out of town before it's too late." Isn't that sweet?
Sweet? What part of that is sweet?
Well, they said they're always watching my movies, and they're waiting for my next film. Sometimes you have to read between the lines.
And sometimes the lines do the work for you. What about the part where it says, "No one can save you, get out of town before it's too late"?
They're just joking. A little banter between friends.
What about the part where all these letters and words were cut from newspapers and magazines? Willie, this is a death threat.
What? No. I can't believe it. Who would send a starlet threatening notes?
Other than your husband?
Yes, other than him.
I don't know, but this isn't good. This is yuckier than a yogurt left in a Yucatan yurt. More nefarious than a cup of decaf coffee. More suspicious than a conscientious Bostonian driver.
What am I to do? With Roger in jail, I'm all alone at the estate, with no one at all but our staff of 18 and my 4 corgis and aviary of synchronized dancing duffs.
You need someone watching over you. A bodyguard.
Don't look at me. I've spent my whole life trying to get away from the studios.
Fig, please, will you? I can pay you whatever you need.
I'd never accept money from my gal.
Well, how about I lease you all a brand new office? When I went to find you there, the door had been taken off its hinges. It's not a great neighborhood. Hardly any press juice bars.
Dagnabbit, the hinge highwaymen of Highland Park don't usually case joints downtown.
I've heard those door thieves have expanded their venture. They've got ne'er-do-wells nestled up in every neighborhood of SoCal by now. No door is safe.
We'll take the deal, Wilhelmina. Fig will act as your bodyguard, we get a new office. Somewhere nice, like Los Feliz or Pasadena.
Pasadena's too far.
Too far from what?
The stuff. You know, all the stuff.
It will be so swell to have you there, Fig. People sure are bent out of shape over the passing of Mr. Fitzgerald. It's been so gloomy lately. Cliff's been off his game. His chasse rock step hasn't had nearly as much pep in it. Having you around will certainly brighten the place up.
It'll be good to be on the lot. I can do some digging. Find out what people really thought of F. Scott.
Holy cannoli. Does that mean you think he was murdered?
We don't think anything. We aren't taking that case.
Vivian mentioned she was coming to you with information about Mr. Fitzgerald. Nice fella. He would come in for his, book club. He could pack down drinks like I'd never seen. Real sad. Seemed disillusioned with the whole Hollywood scene. Told me he found it phony and off-putting and wanted to find a way out. Poor guy. Looks like he never did.
A man who found himself embroiled in the toxic sham of Los Angeles, home to the tar pits of society, and actual tar pits that are honestly pretty interesting. The man could have escaped, gone back to writing novels somewhere where the air wasn't thick with smog, where the people you smile at on the street aren't praying for your failure. And from what it sounds like, he wanted to expose the Hollywood hoax to the world. I think I knew someone who could relate.
Is it you, Ford? Could you relate?
We really have to figure out this voiceover thing.
Are you saying you want to take on Vivian's case? She's on in 5. I'd love nothing more than to tell her the good news, especially if it will make her stop singing.
I think she has a lovely voice. I told the casting directors to give her my part in The Grapes of Wrath, but they said no.
If we do this, I need to go to the morgue first and see the body to make sure we aren't wasting our time.
How fun! My father worked at the local morgue back in Sweet Lake Falls. It was so inspiring to watch him do his thing with a scalpel. There was that one time I was playing hide-and-seek with myself, and he locked me in one of those cold lockers overnight. That was less fun. My mom says I never recovered. But I think I'm doing just fine, thank you. Hey, Bixby, make my next one a double.
Just, drinking straight cream, huh?
For the protein.
All right, then. It's settled. I'll play bodyguard and get the scoop on our Sibylline screenwriter over at the studio. Ford, you make an appointment at the morgue, and let's find out with certainty that our boy Fitzy was murdered. If he was, I think our main suspect just walked in.
Ladies and gentlemen, the songbird of sunset, the temptress of Tinseltown, the redhead of Redondo Beach, which is where her dad moved after her parents' divorce. Miss Vivian Nightingale!
Sorry, but I don't have the bandwidth for a song right now. Can we just go straight to the credits?
Shipwrecked Comedy presents The Case of the Greater Gatsby, written and created by Sean Persaud and Sinead Persaud, directed by William Joseph Stribling. Featuring Sean Persaud as Ford Phillips and Jimmy Stewart, Sinead Persaud as Fig Weinshine, Tim DeLamotte as Archibald Maitland, Tom DeTrinis as Robert Leonard, Matthew Mercer as Mo Beats, Mary Kate Wiles as Vivian Nightingale, Joey Richter as Danny Saxman, Dante Swain as Bixby Crane, Sarah Grace Hart as Wilhelmina Vanderjetsky, and Christopher Higgins as the MC. Original music by Dylan Glathorn, and additional music by Kevin Luce. Audio recording by Ears Up Studio and Noah Hunt Audio. Mixing and sound design by Lizzie Goldsmith. Executive producers Paul Komorowski and Michael Walsh. Produced by Sean Persaud, Sinead Persaud, and Mary Kate Wiles.
Special thanks to Kickstarter backers Katie Adamczyk, Ali Brown, Zainab Khan, Xiaoxi Kuo, Jane Leach, Avalee Long, Liesl Perrine, Halsey Root, The Rude Mechanicals, Heather Tennant, and Justin Waterman. Please rate and review the show wherever you listen. Visit Shipwrecked Comedy on YouTube to view the prequel film for this series, The Case of the Gilded Lily, or many of our other projects, like our modern adaptation of Washington Irving's The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, Headless, A Sleepy Hollow Story. Join Shipwrecked Comedy on Patreon to get early access to Greater Gatsby episodes and exclusive behind-the-scenes content.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.